Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, God. And as we get a chance to study your word now, I pray that you speak through me and say the things that you want to say. Lord, I have nothing good to say myself, but all good things come from you. And I pray that the words I speak today are yours. Touch our hearts and convict us where we need to be convicted, that we might be changed and become more like you. Thank you, Father, for being good. Amen. Well, I have the opportunity to speak to you guys today about a difficult topic. It's a topic that hits all of us. It's one that I've preached on many times, and every time I preach it, I still talk to myself. You'd think by now I would have learned and overcome, but I haven't. What I'm going to talk to you today about is something that's plagued our mankind for generations and started wars and started catastrophes. What I'm going to talk to you today about caused Satan to be thrown out of heaven, caused Adam and Eve to eat the fruit, and caused the Israelites to sin because they worshipped a calf. What I want to talk to you guys today about is idolatry. And idolatry is something that all of us, I believe, struggle with in some way. And it comes in a lot of forms. And some are obvious and some are not, but it's a problem that each and every one of us has to deal with. And one thing that makes idolatry so bad or so difficult is that we take good things, things that God has created, and we give them too much value. We make them too important. And when we do that, we take God's good gifts and make them idols in our lives. Idolatry is listed in the Ten Commandments, and number 1 and 2 deal directly with it. This is what the Lord tells Moses in chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make yourself for yourself an idol in the form of anything. Martin Luther said that because these two commandments deal specifically with idolatry, that the rest of the commandments can only be broken if you break these first two. What he's trying to say is that if you break the commands of God, you're saying that you know better than God. You know how you need to live your life more than God knows how to live your life. And you're making yourself God and taking his place because you're worshiping your desires and wants more than him. John Calvin says, our heart is an idol factory. And when we follow our desires and those desires of our hearts, we can't follow God's desires. So idolatry. When it comes to idolatry, it might look like some different things, but everything falls into two specific categories. The first category is the surface idol, and the second category is the source idol. And a quick definition of those two would be this. Surface idols are idols that we can see, idols that we can observe. But source idols, those are behind the scene. Source idols are the root problem that the surface idol is attached to. Now, I must say, the concept of source idols and surface idols is a concept that I got from a sermon I listened to by Matt Chandler. And so if you ever want to listen to a great sermon on this, obviously, other than this one, because, you know, look up Matt Chandler's sermon on source and surface idols. It is a phenomenal sermon. And I got the idea about talking idolatry in this way from him. But he said he has no clue where he found it. He found it from somebody else who found it from somebody else who found it from somebody else. They have no clue who really came up with it. But it's just really precise and really hits home. And I enjoyed that sermon when I listened to it. And I want to share with you today about that. So, idols, surface idols. These are idols that can be defined as the ones you can see. These are the things in our lives that are visible and can easily be described by adding one simple statement. My life only has meaning, or my life only has worth if. My life only has meaning, my life only has worth if. And the way in which we answer that statement helps us to identify the idols in our lives. These aren't the root problems, these aren't the source idols, but finding out which idols are surface idols help us to identify the source idol, which we'll talk about in a minute. One of the biggest source idols we have is our image. You go to Walmart, you go to any place that sells magazines, and you look at the covers, and what do you see? I wrote some things down this morning and left them in the van. But how to get rock-hard abs in 15 minutes a day. How to lose 30 pounds in 20 days, how to do blah, 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 you know, how to get hair like Mike Kirby, how to have a body of Jarrett Mitchell, you know, in three easy steps. You know, everybody has to look a certain way, you know, or you have to have a body like this, or your clothes need to look like this, or your hair needs to look like this. You know, magazine covers are notorious for the worship of image. And so if you say, my life only has meaning or worth if I look this way, your image might be an idol. Or maybe it's your work. Maybe you're going to do anything you can to get recognition, promotion, title, and prestige. You know, there's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with working hard. But if it's all that we live for, our work can become our idol. Or maybe it's your achievements. Maybe you desire power and money, and you have to have the nicest possessions, and you have to have so much respect, or you've got to be the fantasy football champion. Got to ring it home, so that's me. But maybe that could be an idol for you. Maybe it is. Maybe you say, I only have worth if I achieve a certain status. Maybe I only have worth if I achieve my boat, my car, retire at the age of 55, I don't know. Whatever it may be, if that's where you find your worth, achievement might be your idol. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe you have to have the perfect wife, the perfect husband. Maybe you have to be happy, and you have to have so many Facebook friends and Instagram followers so that you just feel like people love me and people care about me. And so you do whatever it takes to mold yourself into what other people say you should be. Maybe relationships is your idol. Or maybe it's suffering. You know, maybe you live that no pain, no gain mindset. Or maybe you think, I only really have a lot of worth with God if I'm suffering for the cause. You know, it's hard to believe, but you know what? We could make church an idol. If we come here, we don't come here to worship God. We can make suffering an idol if we're not doing it for the right reasons. You know, surface idols show us that we have a problem. And we have to realize and understand that these idols are just symptoms of the greater issue at hand. You know, you could consider them the cough but not the cold, the fever but not the flu, the chest pain but not the blocked artery that needs to be opened up, or the swollen ankle but not the tear that you have in your tendon. And you can treat the symptoms and try to overcome the problems that you see on the surface, but the issue is this: you can never fix the problem unless you deal with the greater issue that lies beneath. You know, and I tried to think of an appropriate illustration to help us think about what this concept of idolatry looks like. And the best illustration I could think of is, idolatry is a thistle. When you have thistles, and I know this farm community, so you guys all love thistles, right? You know, you get the city people. Oh, that's a pretty flower out there in the field. I need to go get one of those and plant it in my garden and blah, blah, blah. But you get closer and you look at the thing and it's covered in thorns. And yeah, it might be pretty, whatever, but it's nothing that we really want. There's a reason it's considered a noxious weed. It is noxious weed, right, Chad? There you go. I remember something from high school, FFA. If you go to your field and you mow a thistle over, have you taken care of the problem? No. The problem is this. You made it look good on the outside. You took care of the stuff that was being shown, but you left the root. And the only way that you're going to kill a thistle is to dig the root out, or pull the root out, or poison it so it dies. And the same is true when it comes to idolatry in our lives. If we just mow over the problem, if we just cover it up, it comes back worse. Because, boy, if you don't kill your thistle, you have 1,000 next year, and your neighbors do not like you. Because thistles are terrible. So if you look at the book of Exodus and the story of the Israelites with the golden calf, you're going to see that Moses realized that the only way to get to idolatry and to overcome idolatry is to completely destroy it. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 19 and 20, it says, when Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hand. breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattering it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. You see what he did with that idol? He burned it, he crushed it, he destroyed it. That's what we have to do with the idols in our lives. We can't just cover them up. We can't just gloss them over. We've got to attack it at its root and destroy it at its source. And that brings us to what the real problem is, that source idol, that root, that source of life that idol holds on to, the underground underlying issue that leads to the surface idols that we see in our lives. And all source idols fall into one of four categories. The first one is comfort. Your comfort. You know, it means to soothe, console, to bring cheer, feeling of relief or a state of ease or satisfaction. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. God doesn't say it's wrong for us to be comfortable. But if my desire is to always take the easy way out or to always do what I have to do so that there's no pain, comfort might be our idol. You know, some examples might be God wants you to be generous to a building fund or to a mission or someone or something at the church, but you say, God, I can't give generously because I've got my future to think of. How can I save for my retirement if I'm giving away what I've been storing for myself? It kind of reminds me of the man who had the record crop in the Bible. I'll tear down my barns and build new ones. That was his mindset. And he said, God said, you fool. Today your life will be demanded from you. Who will get what you have? So maybe that's an idol to you, your comfort. I can't give, even though God wants me to, because if I give to somebody else, then I won't have it anymore for me. Or maybe you don't want to share your faith because you don't know how people are going to respond to you saying you need the Lord. Or maybe you don't want to serve in the church or Sunday school or Bible school or do anything that takes you out of your comfort zone. You know, I think sometimes we just get so comfortable that we miss great opportunities that God has for us. You know, and I mean, this last week, this mission trip we were able to go to, I was able to see our kids come out of their comfort zones. And they couldn't talk to the kids very well or communicate with all the kids very well, but they jumped in and they did something. And you know what? God never calls us to be comfortable. He calls us to to be uncomfortable. Because when we become uncomfortable, that's where God really has the opportunity to work in our lives and make a difference. And so maybe comfort is your idol. And some questions that I can give you to help you identify this as an idol in your life. And I got these questions mostly from God's at War, a book by Kyle Eidelman. And there's a questionnaire you can find online if you want to ever take it. But here's some of the questions that can identify the comfort idol in our lives. What is it you have to be happy? What is something that you'd have a hard time giving up for a month? What do you do to avoid doing the things that you don't want to do? What do you escape to when you're having a hard time in life? And what is it that you cannot live without? Those questions help us to identify the comfort idol in our lives. The second one is approval. You know, it's that belief that someone or something is good or satisfactory. And it's that desire to be accepted and needed by others. You know, we might seek that through relationships, through marriage, even through work or the church. You know, and it causes insecurity in us because we're always trying to be what everybody else wants us to be, and we can't become who we are meant to be. And a good way to pinpoint the approval source idol is to ask yourself this question. I need to be loved and accepted by who? By what? What is it that I have to be loved and accepted by? And if our need for approval is anything but God, approval might be an idol in our lives. So let me ask you, what things do you worry about? Where do your feelings of self-worth come from? What is it that you hide from others? Because you know what? If people knew me, they wouldn't like me. If people knew what I thought, how I felt, the real me, they would never want to be around me. So I can't share who I really am because I need their approval. It's a struggle. But approval might be your idol. The third one is comfort, and this is difficult, or control, sorry. The third one is control, and this one's difficult. I mean, we all have this desire to be in control of things in our lives. whether it's the animals on the farm or our friends or our children or work. I mean, we want to be in control because we don't like that feeling of not being in control. And the problem is, there really aren't very many things in this world that we can control. We can try. We can do our best, but there's really few things that we can control in our lives. And I love what Matt Chandler said about this. He said, we try to control stuff, and control always leads us to worry. And when you worry about something, you try to control that thing so that you can overcome the worry, which leads you to more worry so that you can try to control more, and it's a vicious, never-ending cycle that you'll never overcome. And I think that's true, because when I want to control everything that happens, I end up stressed and worried and frustrated, and I realize, you know what? I got to give this to God because I can't do this myself. So let me ask you this question. What do you think about in the middle of the night or when you first wake up in the morning, that thing that's on your mind that you just have to be in control of and take charge of? What things do you worry about? Maybe, what do people tell you you spend too much time on? What do you hide from others? You know, the biggest problem with this idol of control is simply this. You spend so much time trying to control something that you can't control that you actually end up being controlled by the thing that you want to control. And it's a losing battle. And even if we succeed from time to time, we always end up losing. And the final one is power. And power is a lot like control, but the biggest difference is not the biggest difference between control and power is that power is that never-ending desire to have influence or recognition, to be over everyone else. You know, and it might come in the form of a promotion at work. I want people to have to answer to me. I don't want to have to answer to anybody else. I need to have control. I need to have power. And I think of it as the Napoleon complex, you know, the little guy who wants all the power. An over-aggressive, dominating behavior. And so if your desire for influence and authority is so important that it's the only thing you live for, power might be an idol in your life. And so let me ask you this. What do you talk about too much? Where do you get your feelings of self-worth? Are you willing to risk anything and everything to meet your goal? In the Gods at War series, there was a video that they showed talking about the guy who was in love with power. And he said, I was young, I was an internet entrepreneur right at the time where the internet exploded and everything was going great. And I was on top of the world. Money was chasing me. I had everything I ever wanted. Forbes 500 said I was one of the top 50 companies. And I went to New York and I was going to sign a contract with this other business, and it was just going to be set. I was going to be set for life. And he said he sat down with a friend, and his friend said, what do you want in life? What things do you define as your goal and as your dream? You need to identify those things, and you need to write them down so that you know what it's going to cost you. And he thought, okay, you know, what is this going to cost me? Well, a watch will cost this, or a boat would cost this. But his friend said, no, that's not what I mean. He said, what is it going to cost you? Not in a monetary sense, but in your life. He said, here's my list. And my first thing is a gold Rolex watch. And I'm going to have this in a few weeks. It just means I got to spend a couple more nights at church or at work. And you know what? I want to belong to this country club. And that's going to cost me time with my family. That's going to cost me one vacation with my family this year. But I'll be able to be a member of this exclusive country club if I sacrifice that. And he went through the list of missing ball games and missing, you know, school programs and all these important things of life because he's chasing that power. I want, I want, I want. If you find yourself trying to win at any cost, willing to sacrifice anything or everything for your dream, this might be your idol. And so my question for you is, now that we know what idols are, we know source idols, we know surface idols, maybe one of these has hit you, maybe four, I've been there. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue to worship them as your God, or are you going to give them over to God and allow Him to be the only one that you worship? It's not an easy process, and it might be a struggle. And you know what? In the beginning, you might lose as many times as you win. But my guarantee to you is if you keep getting up and you keep fighting and you keep working and you keep giving it to God, you can be victorious in these areas of your life. And I just want to close with a few steps that we can take in order to overcome these idols in our lives. The first thing we have to do is own it. We have to identify it, and we have to own it. You know, obviously, we can't beat something in our lives if we don't identify it for what it really is. You know, and maybe this is going to take reflection. Maybe it's going to take prayer. Maybe it's going to take some times of fasting. Maybe you need to read the Bible. Or maybe take a quiz like the one I mentioned. Something like that to help you identify these idols that you have in your life. And once you find those idols, you got to name it and take ownership of it. It doesn't do us any good to say, I struggle with anger, but it's my parents' fault. I struggle with depression, but it's because this person did this to me. If we can't own our own struggles and our own problems, we're never going to overcome them. Maybe you struggle with alcohol, and you've got to be willing to say, you know what, I'm an alcoholic. Maybe you struggle with what you watch on TV. Maybe you struggle with stealing. You need to say, you know what, I'm a thief. Don't blame it on other people. Own it yourself. Because when you do that, you're going to start breaking that cycle in your life. And also, we can't blame it on the devil. The devil doesn't make us do it. So don't say he did. Take the blame on your shoulders and be who you're supposed to be and take your part. The second thing we can do is pray, and that's pretty obvious. We've got to take the struggle to God. We've got to give it to the one who wants to give us everything we need. He's the only one strong enough to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." God wants us to be free from the idolatry. God does not want us to worship other things besides Him. He wants us to break free. So why wouldn't He give us that help if we actually seek it? He will help us. And He knows we can't fight it on our own. Matthew 7:7-8 tells us this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." So take it to God. Ask for help. And He'll give it to you. And the next one is confess. Now, that's a little tougher. You know, I can identify my idol without telling anybody. I can identify the struggles in my life without having to share that with anybody. I can pray to God without anybody else knowing. Confession's a little more difficult. You know, yeah, we confess to God, but in order for us to really overcome, we need to be willing to confess to each other. We need to be able to confess to our family, to our friends, to the people who can hold us accountable, so that we have somebody we can trust who's going to question us. How are you doing on that? What progress are you making? Are you overcoming? How can I pray for you? Somebody who's going to ask us the tough questions that we don't want them to ask us, but we need them in order for us to be able to overcome. And this is where James 5:16 comes in. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." We've got to confess our sins to one another. We've got to confess our idolatry to one another. That's the only way that we will overcome. And you guys, if you look around you, you're surrounded by people in this church. The church is a family. The church is people coming together to take care of each other's needs. You guys have Mike, the pastor, is awesome. You've got awesome elders and deacons. They would love to sit down and talk with you and help you with anything that you're going through. And so I know it's tough. I know it's tough. But if you're willing, you have an army ready to fight with you. Don't go out to battle by yourself. And the fourth and final step is you've got to surrender. You've got to confess, you've got to repent, and you've got to let go. You have to say, "God, I trust you enough to give it all to you, and I want you more than anything else." One of my favorite passages is James 4:7-10. "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." Idolatry is serious business, and if it is left unchecked, it will ruin our lives. But if we give it to God and allow Him to reshape our priorities, change our desires, and chop down our idols, we will be able to find the freedom that we seek. I want to read James 4, 10, 7 through 10 one more time from the Message version as I close. So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. The only way you'll get on your feet. Guys, idolatry, like I say, is serious business. And it can be hard to identify. It can be hard for us to overcome because it's good things that God's created for us to enjoy that we just give too much value to. But if you allow it, if you allow God to help you, you allow others to help you, I know you'll find freedom from the things that you go through. And idolatry is something that hits all of us. It really does. But by God's grace and goodness, we can make it through. Will you pray with me? Father God, You are so good to us. And we worship other things other than You quite often. And we know better. And sometimes they sneak in and we don't realize it. But God, You are the only one worthy of praise. You are the only one who deserves to be worshiped. And God, I pray for our hearts that they will focus on You, that they will be centered on You, so that when these things come up, we can say, no, I'm going to pursue the Lord. Help us to be the men and women You've called us to be, who are going to be on fire for You, loving You, letting go of the things that get in the way, and embracing the things that draw us near to You. And Father, it is awesome to know that when we ask, You want to help us, that You're not too big for us, that You're not a God who is busy and doesn't want to hear from us. You want to hear from us, and You want to help us. And so it gives me great peace to know that the Creator of this universe, the most powerful being ever, wants to help me with my struggles. And I pray, Lord, that we can just allow You to help us with what we go through. And Father, we love You, and it's in Your name. Amen.